welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Welcome. Thanks for dropping on in and sharing your time with me. This is, as usual, going to be an hour packed full of clearings and healings this time, as well as concepts to help coach you guys out of the places that your cognitive left linear minds have gotten you into, as we all do, that keep us kind of locked in a place that we're not even aware that we're doing it. And so that's why we resort to coaching tools and ways to find, kind of like shine the light on our blind spots. I have used healers throughout the years and coaches throughout the years to help me, if I have a blind spot, see where it is in my own thinking. And many, many, many times, it's simple, like these simple little ways that my cognitive mind has chosen to frame something, it just needs a shift, and then, oh, and stuff can start to totally do the snowball of change, and the motivation and momentum for change begins just from a little shift in thinking. So that's what we're going for today. It does have the larger backdrop to the concept of addiction. We talked about food cravings 2 weeks back, and then we had David Wolf last week to explain some of the nutritional and biological and metabolic aspects to our food supply and to some of the reason why it's easier nowadays to be in an addictive space with our consciousness as well as with our actual metabolic functioning, so that we're in what is known as metabolic syndrome. And now this week we are still talking about addiction, but it's in a different way. Hey, it's not really just substance abuse or just sugar. It's anything that we do that keeps us from being a bigger, better. When I say better, I don't mean you're bad as you are now, but I mean the next level of ourselves, so that next version of ourselves where we're just that much more happier or just that much more abundant or just that much more thriving in our family life or just that much more thriving in our love life or just that much more thriving in our career or launching that new program or launching that new product or launching that new campaign and just stepping out in the next way where we were holding back before. And these don't have to be brilliant, huge steps. A lot of the times it seems to me that my clients come to me and they have this very black and white thinking that's typical of the cognitive mind or the ego mind, like we've talked about many times before. The ego mind is a part of ourselves that is attached to our identity and the way that we see the world and me. It's used when we individuate around ages 12 and even earlier around age 2, and that's back many shows back when I talk about that specifically. I think it's in The Mechanics of Change, Part 1. So if you want to go back and listen to that show, that explains it. I'm not going to go over it again now, but the ego mind can trip us up when we're going for change. It can engage in self-sabotaging behaviors that we're not even aware of. So please understand right from the get-go, of course, the show isn't meant to attack you, blame you, make you for being wrong, make you feel bad about yourself. Instead, it's to help you see where there's some faulty logic that you're using behaviors that are habitual, and now I'm saying addictive, in order to not step up to that next level of yourself where you're allowing yourself to remain at the status quo when it's not working for you any longer. And you know it, but you're avoiding it. So that's what we're talking about today. It's a more elusive way of and loosely defined way of addiction. But nowadays, it's the environment that we're living in. It's the world. It's the energy that we're living in. We're all engaging in behaviors unless we're consciously opening in what Access Consciousness calls 10-second increments. we're engaged in behaviors that help to slow down the rate of change. Some of us are doing it more consciously than others. Some of us have been doing it our whole lives and haven't really evolved much. And some of us are just stuck more now due to the nature of this year, 2012, and how it's such a year full of momentum towards change. Old systems are collapsing. The old paradigm is collapsing. The new one's coming through. And it seems like chaos. And so there's, you know, a certain level of stability that we want. And I've talked about that before. That's in the Mechanics of Change, I believe, part one and two. It's also in my book coming out. And I'll have more news on that probably within the next three shows with the title and the actual release date. Woohoo! Speaking of stepping on out to the next level. With this huge paradigm shift that's going on from the age of industrialization and physical scientific materialism to the age of consciousness and quantum physics, where things are not as stable. I say this in my Wholeness with Holistic Healing YouTube video, too. We're looking for more stability in a time when the rate of change is as sped up as it is, and so sometimes we'll engage in those more addictive behaviors that much more so we can slow down the rate of change. Because the point is that we're born in I'm going to step out and risk calling her a guru. Sorry, Carolyn. Carolyn Mace, one of my main teachers who I've trained with and have done umpteen workshops with. She says we're born in an unintegrated way. We're born with our head telling us one thing and our heart telling us another thing. So we're lacking integration. And any addiction is a behavior engaged in to keep that disconnect perpetuated. So we don't listen to our heart, or our heart and our mind don't work in concert. Because if our heart and mind worked in concert, we couldn't really lie to ourselves. We'd have to listen to that awareness and that quiet voice that pops in that one morning or late at night or on that drive home or on that vacation or during that sunset in those quieter moments is what I'm getting at. That says, this isn't what you want. This is what you want. You need to do this now. You need to let go of this in your life. You need to move here. You need to do this. And we don't want to. So we'll disconnect from our heart. And we'll listen to what we know as our ego mind with its love of status quo. Its love of clinging to what's familiar. Its love of habitual behaviors. So I want to take a step back before we go in any deeper. And there's two announcements that I've really wanted to get to and haven't. So here we go. The first one is there is this man, Christopher, who is putting out there into the universe a huge project, making a documentary. He's a film student from Ohio, and he's making a documentary film called Unseen Medicine. And it's a documentary that goes into one family's tragic loss due to the big pharmaceutical companies, and he's examining the system as it is and then also interviewing natural healers and how some have gotten shut down. And he's really going in and doing some serious investigative journalistic work with what's going on now that keeps the big pharmaceutical companies supporting our medical system, keeping it locked in place, the actual impact of that on real people, the consequences of that, and then interviewing natural healers. And so he's looking to get the project going, and you can go to the following website, Indie, as in independent films, Indie, I-N-D-I-E, gogo.com/unseenmedicine. And he's looking for some backers to support the project so we can get it up and going. It's actually a really cool program that he's using on this website where the people, you can put up a project and people can come in and back you and offer their support. So that is the first announcement, and I highly suggest going to see the little, I think it's a 5-minute video that he has about his project coming up, Unseen Medicine. And the next announcement is for Access Consciousness in Vegas, Sylvia Hagen. She's on my Facebook page, Allison JK. I think the link is right there on the bottom of this page that you're listening to the show on. Allison JK. I have two pages. I have my page, and then I have my business's page. They're both under the same name, but I have my title on my business's page. Sylvia Hagen is on my page, H-A-G-E-N, and she has information about next weekend's Las Vegas Access Consciousness Bars classes and a special parenting class. So you want to go to accessconsciousness.com if you're interested and look up the instructor Dean Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N, and that's Access, A-C-C-E-S-S, consciousness.com. Go into classes and then look up Dean Larson or even Vegas. I think it's easier if you look up Dean Larson and then you can check out their, so you can go, their class is coming up in Vegas, or go to my Facebook page and communicate with Sylvia directly. I'm taking an energetic facelift class with Access Consciousness next week. I'm excited about learning that. I'm actually about to become a BARS facilitator myself. I'm taking my third BARS course this weekend. I've been using it in my practice now, integrating it with the other four energy medicine modalities that I've been using for about 20 years now. And it's an interesting combination. And I was saying to one client this week, you have a buffet. What would you like for energy medicine modalities? Access's BARS is really great to take the charge off of old ways of thinking. Dean here, speaking of Access Consciousness, pardon me, Dane here comes on next week, and he's going to help us with further our understanding about how we can open up unlimited possibilities in our thinking even more using the Access Consciousness tools. He's always a great, this is the first repeat guest I've had, and a lot of it, as you've heard me say before, if you've listened to the Access Consciousness shows and a few of the other ones, is the brilliance of Access Consciousness is to be able to get at people's cognitive minds to find out where the thinking is tripping you up, where a person's thinking is tripping you up. So, for instance, let's go in right now. Any point of view that you have locks down energy. So if you picture a door wide open, and then you go over to the door and you close it, what do you see? Ending. If you open the door, you can go into another room. There's continuation. So the concept here is the less points of view we have about ourselves, particularly about ourselves with relationship or with that new date or with that new job potential or with that new purchase or with that new city. Oh, it's going to be like that. Oh, I'm always like this when I speak publicly. Oh, I'm always like this when I go on my first date. Oh, it's always like this whenever I try to lose weight. Then that obviously is going to end the energy of unlimited possibilities. But where we do it a lot more subtly is where we choose to stay with robotic habitual behaviors to kind of block out that newness from coming in. So let's go to break and come on back and we'll get to some clearings. Hey, another way to look at this, you guys, is it's a difference between the theater of the ego and the theater of the soul. I love that. That's also Carolyn Mace. With looking at, we are coming from our minds, or we're coming from a more connected to something bigger part of ourselves. And I know from being a meditator for 20 years, I was just saying this actually to one of my clients today, and coming back in the States and living here for the last 2 years. And again, please understand that this is not meant as an insult, or it's just an observation and an awareness. I can feel mind here. It's not that I go other places and don't feel it. But for example, when you go to Thailand, they'll say Sawadika as a greeting. And it has to be done with a smile. In India, it's Namaste. In Taiwan, it's Ni Hao. And it's usually done with a smile. The tone for their thank you is Xie Xie, like it's a big chair. There's a different way, like a more heart-centered way of going about interacting with people. And there's something in that, because if we're allowed to just directly speak like we do here in America and express ourselves directly like we're trained to do in America, like in a classroom, I know that I had the expectations as a teacher that my students needed to be able to speak up for themselves. And so every teacher I knew graded partially based on participation. So it's a bit of a different model we do in our country here, and I go into this in depth in my book, pull out the contrast of there's strong ego development in our country, and that's not a bad thing because we've led the world for how many decades with developments that came out of here because of our innovative natures here, our emphasis on creativity, our emphasis on productivity, our emphasis on stepping forward and thinking outside the box, and a lot of that comes from a strong enough ego complex to be able to believe in oneself and have the confidence in one's own voice, one's own contribution, and that it matters. So it's our model, and it is what it is. However, I know that at times it's almost, when I have some clients come to me, actually, I feel when I'm, and it doesn't have to be the first intake, where it's the initial consult, it could be like treatment number 48, and I can feel them just come at me with their mind. And our mind really gets us wrapped up. It really gets – and I said this in response to my first client today, actually. She's like – so after she ranted for a bit and released, she's like, so how are you? And I said, good. And she goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah, the mind can always find something to complain about. I'm doing good. In our environment of the world we're inhabiting right now, too, it is a greater backdrop as these paradigms shift from the old way of doing things that we've been doing since basically right before the Industrial Revolution. We're now coming out of the mechanization. If you look at our food production industry, and I just got word that I think John Robbins is going to be coming on a show soon, who is the author of Diet for New America, who is the son of Robbins from Baskin and Robbins Ice Cream Empire, who is going to inherit it and went and investigated where the milk, the cream, the ice cream came from and got horrified by what he saw at the dairy farm. So then he went into the beef and the chickens and the pork production. And he was, this is the book that I read that made me become a vegetarian. And I know David Wolf is the same way. He had the same reaction to John's book, Diet for a New America. It was the predecessor to the movie that's out now, Food Inc. And it shows and exposes the mechanization of our food industry, which is just basically Industrial Revolution at its peak. But we're coming out of that. Obviously, it doesn't work. Obviously, having our food produced with modified seeds and organisms to make them more resistant to invasion by pests is taking it out of its nutritional, inherent nutritional value. And it's having – Europe doesn't even allow GMO to be produced, by the way. In our country, we do, because there's a big capitalistic interest, and also it's what we subsidize in our country. There's a lot of factors. I go into a little bit of it in my book, not to a great extent. I just go into it from the perspective of how it's another example of we're still operating from an industrialization mode, and we're actually moving into a mode of consciousness where there's an awareness of the aliveness in food and the aliveness in the earth, and we need to tend and nurture that, and then we'll have more nutrient-dense food that will keep us healthier. So that's part of the shift that we're going through, and there's massive resistance. You know, we're going to be shifting our healthcare system at some point in the next, I don't know how many years, I can't predict, I don't operate in that way. I don't mean to say I can't, I can, but it's not what I choose to do. But we know it's breaking down. We know that the way economics has been done, that's starting to break down, and people are looking for different models. They're doing more of heart-based entrepreneurism where they're following their hearts and instead of plugging into a job 9-to-5 that they're miserable in. So we are changing. And part of the change, too, is looking at our own consciousness and understanding and taking from the quantum physics discovery that we are not separate, that everything is indeed connected. And when I study something under a microscope, my expectations are actually affecting what I'm observing. So I can't separate something. I can't separate something and study it objectively. It's the same with us. Access consciousness teaches to ask the question, who does this belong to? That we're all a heck of a lot more psychic than we in sponges than we acknowledge. And so sometimes, you know, when you spend time with somebody, or even when you just walk by somebody, or you sit next to somebody on a train or a plane or a bus and they're negative and you have to like shake it off, it's that. It's not something oovy and groovy. It's just simply that. So if we have, you know, this has also been a predicted event this year, and the amount of change in this year, not from a doom and gloom, it's so bad, you know, tsunamis, tornadoes, no. It's changing. 26,000 year cycle on the Earth. The poles are changing. Greg Braden hopefully will be coming on also further in the fall, and he'll explain more about how the poles are changing and how that's affecting us. We're going through massive changes on our planet right now, and you can either buckle up or you can stay in resistance. And if you do, you're going to be more mind-oriented, and you're going to be and it's going to get harder. You're going to get more and more stuck in resistance, in stubbornness, in being the same, eating the same, doing the same, choosing the same, feeling the same, and it not being really what you want, or just opening up and allowing for this brand new era to get ushered in, this brand new you to get ushered in. And so the resistance that you're feeling perhaps within your own life with a change or two or 10 that you want to make may be also resistance you're picking up from the greater collective. There's a concept in Carl Jung's work, the student of Freud who branched off from Freud, and he calls it the collective unconscious. And this isn't only his idea. Ancient cultures also have this understanding that at some level where we're all connected, there's also a almost like a pool of the collective unconscious, and that's we can feel the collective psyche. Not every little thing, not every little thought, but the overall general tone. And there is a general tone on our planet right now of those who are already actively stepping forward and embracing a brand new way of business, of community living, of thinking, of holding themselves in their community, of doing life. And then there's some who are half and half, and that's the majority, I would say, or even just totally still in the old paradigm where they're taking medications and they're eating whatever they want and they're not exercising and they're being negative and they're complaining and they're thinking they're a victim. One of the strongest shifts a human being can make is to understand that everything that is in our lives is because of something we think. The Buddha said, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. So if I believe that as I want to go for this new job, and I've given this example or something along these lines before to get this concept across, so I'm just going to do it briefly now. You can go back into the shows, particularly the three on mechanics of change. If I have the belief that any time I go to a new place, it always ends up being the same. I get overlooked for promotions, and I always end up staying locked in at that entry-level position. So here I am trying this new job with this new company because I'm thinking that I'll be able to get promoted more easily here. That's not about the company. That's about your belief and how worthy you are to have more success professionally and financially, because one would assume there'd be an income level increase. So you would have that buried in you somewhere. You had learned that belief somewhere, and it stayed in your subconscious, and your bosses would smell it out. And it's that wall that you hit that's like, why am I here again? Or, oops, she did it again. You know that song? That was a really lousy rendition of it, but I'm not in the moment singing here. Apparently, I'm trying to communicate this concept. But that feeling like, it's here again. I did it again, or this feeling again. And it is one of, from personal experience I know, and from my clients' experience, the most frustrating places to be, because there's also resistance to being there because we thought that we had moved on. We thought that we had made a better choice. We thought that this time it would be different. And I'm still me. Jon Kabat-Zinn wrote a book. One of the professors from my undergraduate university, UMass Amherst, woohoo, UMass! Wherever you go, there you are. And it's a classic by now. Wherever you go, there you are. You can't avoid yourself. And so you take your thoughts with you and you recreate and you tell people how to treat you. And you send out to the universe how to treat you and what you're willing to receive, what you're willing to have for yourself and what you're unwilling to have for yourself. So let's go into this a little bit more. What is it that you have been saying with your mouth connected to your cognitive linear mind that you want, but you don't seem to be having? So somewhere there's a disconnect from what you're saying you want, and but it's not in your life. And everything that brings up, are you willing to let it go? That frustration, that angst, everything. Are you willing to let it go? And I mean let it go. Just let it go already. Are you ready for a new day? A new experience? Truly. And if you're not, let's look at why you're not. If you're not willing to move forward, what is that resistance coming from? So everything that brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? And here you say yes. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, show boys and beyonds. And that was the Access Clearing Statement. Accessconsciousness.com, look up the clearing statement so you can understand the words that I just used to clear that charged energy out, that density, so we can get to another level. You feel it? You can feel a little bit of movement there, a little bit lighter. Okay, so why hasn't it shown up yet? Well, typically there's a belief, the most typical one off the top of my head, because I'm working with a general audience now instead of an individual caller. So feel free to call in, y'all. The number goat plays during the commercials, I don't have it right in front of me. I apologize for that. But in general, one of the most common beliefs is I'm not worthy of having what I want. I'm not worthy of success. Now, you don't walk around thinking that. I mean, why would you actively take that thought on and that belief on, I'm not worthy, I know I don't deserve it? What instead it looks like is something that you've learned, you've absorbed from the environment you grew up in, and somehow it became entrenched in you from events that happened, that you shouldn't go for something that successful because then you won't be the same level as your family and then they'll resent you. Or it could be somebody at that level of success is a type of person who's greedy, and then therefore if I go for that level of success, I'll be considered greedy. Or nobody in my family, nobody in my neighborhood ever has that kind of success. That kind of success is for those kinds of people, and I don't come from that, and I never will be that. Or it's something like, if I am at that level of success, I will have to work too hard. Or if I am at that level of success, I will have too much responsibility. How do you know? But the mind loves to make conclusions. That's its job, hey? I mean, when we go about life, it's labeling the new people that we meet. It's constantly assessing, constantly making sense out of the environment as it goes out in our daily lives, and we go out onto the physical plane and we're interacting with others in driving and scheduling and doing our business. We need that left brain to chop up all of the energy data, all of the input that we're coming into contact with, so our five senses don't go into overload. We don't get overwhelmed with all of the information that's really happening right in front of your eyes right now as you sit there. But you don't see the microwave rays. You don't see the ultraviolet radiation. We don't hear past a certain pitch that the dogs can hear. Otherwise, it would be too much information and we go crazy. So we have thresholds on our senses, right? And the left brain helps us stay structured and organized, or the ego mind helps us individuate as an individual in body with our own personality. But this mind goes into overdrive with its mechanism of labeling and of making sense out of the environment. So, excuse me, that carries over into when we are not needing to make sense out of our environment, but we're labeling nonetheless, and we're judging nonetheless. And a lot of the time when the mind runs out of jobs to do, it then turns inward on us and it starts to judge away us, right? So everything that brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Times a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, show boys and beyond. What is it that you do so that you won't change, so that this won't change too quickly? Do you carry an extra 10 pounds? How does that, Allison, what? How does carrying an extra 10 pounds slow down the rate of change? Because if you listened to the voice inside of you, when you're sitting down and you're watching TV and you're eating that bag of chips, if you didn't stuff that bag of chips down your throat and you weren't taking in the television, which, by the way, one of the strongest recommendations I can make is basically focus on the Food Network or the Travel Network or PBS at this point, because there, that is such a box of perpetuating the negativity and that the world is doomed and there's so much bad out there. I mean, they're really just hooking on to that. I mean, it's the nature of how they make money. But even the reality shows now, people are struggling right now to get out of their own way. There's a lot of happiness for sure with people who have gotten out of their own way, but there's still a lot of people buying into the lack, the scarcity, the illness, the cancer. There's a war. There's a war on cancer. There's a war on drugs. There's a war on obesity. Problems, problems, problems. Let's be problem focused and let's talk about it. And let's have many talk shows about it. And now let's have ads about it. I mean, what are you taking in? What are you feeding your mind? As well as you stuff, as you're stuffing down those chips. There's fear involved there. You're stuffing back emotions that are reacting to, God, this sucks. So you medicate yourself with the food. Because if you heard, God, this sucks, what would be the next thought? There's nothing I can do about it, so let me just check out. And let me go now have my second bag of chips. Right. Or you're not listening to, I can be a whole lot more than this. I have an incredible singing voice. I could sing songs to help make it happier, to help catalyze change. It's an inspiration all of a sudden you get. You wake up one morning and you're getting into your car. You're still not fully awake, getting ready to drive to work. And what do you do with that? You stay in the habitual safe mode of go to Starbucks, get your coffee, drive to work, get the paycheck, don't follow the inspiration. We're talking about living from the exact opposite paradigm. Follow the inspiration, that everything that shows up in that quiet voice is what is meant to be followed. And that's living life from the soul. That's acknowledging that there is a much more profound meaning to life and a much bigger backdrop to life. And when we live life from the limits of the mind, from the programming that the mind takes on, from other people's minds that they took on from other people's minds in front of them, and we just continue to perpetuate the same model, living from the mind, how alive do you feel, first off? Everything that brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Say yes. Time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, show, boys, and beyond. And really, ask yourself, how alive are you willing to be? And everything that brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, show, boys, and beyond. What would it take for you to enjoy your life more? Anything and everything that doesn't allow that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Time is a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, short boys and beyonds. Anything and everything that doesn't allow for you to follow your inspiration, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Time is a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, short boys and beyond. Anywhere where you have been taught you're not good enough to live the life of your dreams, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Time's a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine, short boys and beyond. And what if you were truly living life at the level of your soul? At the level of exactly who you're supposed to be, and whether that means being the best home builder possible that helps people who want to design their own homes, just brings more heart-based, inspired living out into the world by using your talent. That's living life from the soul. When we contract and we hold ourselves back, that sense of restriction is huge on our planet right now. And it's what's coming out of that TV on many of the channels. And it's what's coming out of the media. And it's what we are coming out of as a whole, is living this restricted life, living life from the mind that we only can have so much, we can only be so much, buying into the judgments and the conclusions that we've adopted from our environments throughout our lives, or not. Following the inspiration, like Hansel and Gretel and the breadcrumbs. With that, let's go to break and come on back for some Theta Healing. Cheers. Okay, so one of the things that I really enjoyed about Asia was the feeling of soulfulness, a historical context, an appreciation of energy. And one of the things that, for me, made me go there was to live amongst a culture that acknowledged the importance of energy. We're starting to do that here in America. The numbers between 2004 and 2008 of people doing yoga and exposed to meditation in many regards, I think doubled. There's an increasing number of people getting exposed to shows and thoughts like this. And the mind is a great vehicle to a certain degree, but it stops being functional at some point when it goes into overdrive and it starts to turn on its owner, if you will, and with judgments and limiting thoughts and beliefs, and it goes into overdrive, and so we don't want to hear it, so we'll check out. We don't want to hear our thoughts anymore, so we'll go on the internet and surf, and we'll check out with our game apps on our phone, and we'll check out with whatever means we're using to check out, the digital technical technology, the media. Well, I love what it allows me to do, which is this exact thing right now, being on my Macintosh, using Skype, calling in from my home, hosting this show right now. It's fantastic, the convenience, absolutely. But when it goes out of balance, it allows itself to be a huge distraction, keeping the mind in a state of constant alert, constant activity, keeping it hyped up, and therefore enhancing the mind's presence in our lives and working to disconnect us from getting more quiet and listening to our insides. I'm not saying you can't have both lives at the same time, because that's what I live. Are you in balance, though? How happy are you? How content do you feel? Or do you feel like there's an itch at the back of your neck that you're needing to scratch, but you can't make it stop itching? Do you have that off feeling? I mean, it's so simple to just start listening to your deeper yearnings. And just when the mind produces a thought that is limiting, meaning it wants to stop you, or is a negative judgment of you or someone else, I've been doing that for years. It's another, the way that Access Consciousness says is, say back to your mind in self-talk. Interesting point of view. I have that point of view. The does that too. So continuing on, you could then actually, if your mind is saying to you to just go sit on the couch, don't go look at that website about that workshop or that person who you met the other day, because you get an inkling that you should. Just go do what you normally do. Okay. But instead of following with the okay, you say, you know what? No, as a matter of fact, instead of watching less TV tonight, I'm going to watch no TV tonight. And I'm not going to go on and play any games. I'm not going to go on any apps. I want to check out that person's website. And as a matter of fact, those other two places that do the same thing that that person does, I want to check them out too. So you can create more openings in your life for yourself. So you can start to follow the trail. Because I have found in my own experience, it's not perfectly laid out for us. We don't get to really know the how. And in fact, I know that with my myopic view, as much as I can see, and have trained myself to open up my perception and perspective and eyes and try to have a neck that turns on itself 360 degrees, almost like an owl, I still don't see all the way around. There is a bigger source, the universe, that is all seeing. And in some religions, we are taught that it is God who is all knowing. And it knows, it has more resources than me. The bigger backdrop of consciousness, whether it be God or it be the conscious awake field, when I send out there, yes, in the form of, let me go on these websites and investigate about these people, when I have enthusiasm and I'm charged up about it, I don't mean like cheering in your room where you're bringing your knees up to your chest and your arms are going up in the air and you're going, woohoo! Only, I mean just like, wow, like there's a shift in you that of opening, of excitement, of anticipation, of eagerness, of enthusiasm. Something is able to open in you is the point where it's not just closed down and you're kept in tight to the status quo and saying the same things and sounding the same and feeling the same, where there's opening and you follow that, that then sends an opening of in an energy out to the universe or the field of consciousness that we interact with, and then it kind of brings back, like attracting like, it brings it back to us, more of the same. It's interesting though, like when I get working with clients and they come to me with a specific issue, to get a momentum going towards the change they want, it takes some time to unroot the habitual patterns of the mind's thinking, than of the choices that they make based on what the mind's thoughts are. Choices leading to outcomes, dealing with those outcomes in life. All of that is life. And it comes back to our thoughts. What ones do we choose to listen to? What ones do we choose to give credence to? What ones do we choose to follow? And what then therefore actions do we take? And then therefore what shows up in our life? Everything that is in our life is there because at some point we thought it into our field, into existence. There is no victimhood, no matter how crazy or wrong or bad it seems that what he did to me or what she did to him or what they did to them. It still comes down to a set of a one belief even. We're telling the universe, this is what I think, this is what I believe, bring it to me by the way that we feel, by the emanations coming off of our being, our body. So if we want to have a momentum of change going, I gotta tell you guys, it takes a little bit of time for the energy to shift. So just please be patient. If you are in there and you're going to lose weight and you're in the third week and you've had, you know, 5 pounds take off in 3 weeks and you wanted it to be more, it's just so easy to give up. It's just so easy to stay in the status quo. It's just so easy to not believe that you can have change. Why take the easy road? Because that's what the mind wants. In a way, yes, in fact, there is self-sabotage going on. In a way, yes, in fact, there is a part of you that wants you to fail, because then it could say, see, I told you you weren't good enough. See, you're proving your mind right with its judgments and its conclusions that no, see, you always get passed over for that promotion. See, and there's a part of you that almost feels in a weird way satisfied. There is a level of living going beyond the mind, and it's everyday thoughts and it's everyday chatters and the conclusions and the judgments. Being out in nature helps. Listening to shows like this helped. Getting energy healings help. Meditating helps. Yoga helps. Feeling alive helps. Whatever, if that's kayaking, if that's fishing, if that's talking to that one specific friend, if it's chopping wood, if it's cooking. But the more you can connect to your aliveness, the more that that's going to help a certain energy be sent out into the universe so that you get more things that are going to help you to feel alive come back to you. All that we are is a result of our thoughts. The Buddha, considered one of the wisest people on this planet, I would say, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And I have found this to be true. When I change my perspective, and when I find my hidden belief in a certain circumstance, and I shift it, and yeah, it does require being that fluid, like a surfer, or like flowing with it. Really, to be happy in nowadays world, we have got to be mentally agile. We have got to not hang on, stay stubborn, be in resistance, and not let go. We have got to be able to just shed things left and right as if sweating. Another pellet of sweat drops off my body when exercising. Off goes another thought that no longer serves me. Because that's the nature of the times that we're living in. Jacqueline Joy is coming on August 10th. She is with the Diamond Technology, and we're going to learn some stuff about vibration then. Okay, what I'd like to do for the rest of the show now is to go back up, or when I say back, I mean because I've done it on so many other shows, but go up into Theta and pull some more beliefs that I feel guided from the listeners, both now and in the future. So you're going to want to get in a place where you can be a bit more receptive and not be responsible for conscious thought and operating machinery or anything, caretaking any kids or anything like that. Just let yourself be, because most likely you'll follow me up in Theta. So you're going to feel more relaxed, maybe even a little bit dreamy. You can come back and listen to this over and over again too, if you want, for the clearings and these healings. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you pull the belief from all the listeners now and in the future, from all the levels. This will never change, yes? Replacing it with, this is already changing, yes? Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, that you download the feeling of this already changing. Whatever it is that the listener is thinking of, show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about each of their day-to-day lives with this already changing. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of transformation. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at their history level. I can't. Yes? Replacing it with, I can. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling that they can. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day lives, knowing that they can. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of saying yes and going for more expansion. Reach of their highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. And Creator, it is commanded, please, you pull the belief from all the levels, resolving it at their history level. I can't make this any different. Yes. Replacing it with, I am making this different now. Yes. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the feeling of making whatever it is they're wanting different, different. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the knowing how to go about their day-to-day life, making it different. Show me. Creator, it is commanded, please, you download the Creator's perspective, definition, and understanding of choice for the highest and best with grace and ease. Show me. Many blessings, love and light. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.vibrationalupgrades.com. www.allisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.